All right, Alistair Milne here, one of the Milne brothers, the middle Milne brother. Good to see you all here at Heather Bible Chapel, and thanks for the invite back. Hope you're all keeping well. I was planting some flowers here the other day, and you know, spent about $200 on these flowers, and the guy behind me, he says, "Hey, you might want to wait about 4 weeks before you plant those." And I thought it was a cowboy behind me. I was like, "Oh." I said, "Why is that?" He goes, "It's cold outside. Wait another 4 weeks." So I'm like, "So for the last 3 weeks, I've been taking all the flowers I bought, running them back into my basement, and then running them back out in the morning so that I felt like I own a puppy for the last 3 weeks." So they're still alive, and they were planted on the weekend. So plants are good. Great to be here. I'm just going to ask the Lord's blessing as we open up the Word of God again. Father, we give thanks for this awesome day together. We give thanks for so much blessing over the last few days, Father. And as we go into a new week, Father, we ask for your presence. Give us your desire for the things that matter. Give us your joy, Father. Even in trial, Father, give us your ability to endure. And may we inspire others and to turn to Christ, Father. So, Father, we ask a blessing on our lives as we lead our families, our businesses. Perhaps some of us in the audience are retired, and now they got a free palette, Father, a blank canvas. Maybe recently retired some, and they have a chance to carve out a portion of the day and give it to you, Father. So may you be glorified this week by a few of us in this room. We give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ's worthy and precious name we pray. Amen. All right, well, I wanted to have a cool title for you all today, but I don't. So all I have is some numbers. 2, 3, 1. There it is. There's our message today. 2, 3, 1. There's a bunch of twos, all right? And there's a bunch of ones, and there's only 1, 3. All right. So just to make it easy for you, I have about 12 messages that was running through in my head. I thought, man, what do I give you? And sometimes, I don't know, girls, I can only speak for the guys, but sometimes we are ravenous. I'm going to use the word. Now, I can't eat like I used to. Remember those all-you-can-eat sushi things? I can't do that anymore. But all my younger friends can. They just like gobble it up like it's oxygen, right? So I'm going to use the word smorgasbord. I'm going to give you today, you know, just think of a big smorgasbord. Back when I was a kid, I remember eating so much that my dad pulled over on the road back from Bellingham. And I said, "Dad, what's going on?" You know, he was sort of driving like this with his seat back. And the Milne boys are there. I said, "Dad, what's going on?" He goes, "I'm not fit to drive." And then he sat, or rather looked at us at the front of the vehicle and just burped for about 15 minutes. And I'm sitting there going, "Wow, I got the coolest dad ever." Yeah, and he's sitting there burping. And then when the burps were done, he goes, "Okay, boys, time to go home." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I'm going to present a smorgasbord for you today, and which you can, you know, pick the chicken, you know, so because sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes the fried rice is over there just right. It's got a little onion, a little bit of cheese on it. Boom, boom, boom. Or maybe you'll want a muffin right beside your spaghetti. You know, I'm going to give you a few things today to think about and that you can use this week. So once again, numbers. Alistair, where are we going? 2, 3, 1. But we're going to start with the twos. I want to talk about two sons that died, and two sons that gave life. So let's turn to Luke 18. I'm going to start with the twos here today. And once again, no polish on the message. Think of it like a smorgasbord. Just take it, and don't worry. There's chicken, and there's cool stuff. Maybe even a muffin, or maybe, yeah, like a, you know, just take what you want here today. It's Luke 18, and starting at verse 35, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh to Jericho, a certain man, a blind man, sat by the wayside begging." Now, that's interesting, Jericho. Because if I say to you the word Jericho, what do you think of? I only think of one thing, right? I think of Joshua. Joshua, the battle of Jericho, Jericho. Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, right? And on the seventh day, they blow their trumpets, and man, the walls come down. That's what I think of when I hear Jericho. But now, Jesus is passing through Jericho. The first miracle is turning the water into wine in John. The last miracle, as he comes into Jerusalem, besides putting back on Peter's ear in the Garden of Eden, is this one right here. He's passing through Jericho. And Matthew also records this. Mark records this. I'm going to read Dr. Luke's here. But Jericho, that's what I'm thinking of. It's about, 1,400 feet below sea level, the lowest basically part of earth, right? Jerusalem was quite high. It was like 2,500 in the other direction, right? But it's low, and Jesus is passing through, and here is a blind man. But, Alistair, you said it was two sons that died. Yeah, Joshua does something. Let's turn for quickly to Joshua 6. Something happens after the walls of Jericho come down. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 6. And what does he say in verse 6 and 26? Oh, looks like, I'm in Judges. Joshua 6. So the walls have come down. And what does Joshua say? Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof, in his firstborn and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." And the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all of the country. Alistair, can you please explain that? Yeah, simply in Alistair language, Joshua is used of God, and the walls come down. And then, of all things, he puts a curse on where? Jericho, this lowest part of planet Earth, puts a curse on it. And he says, if anyone builds this, their son is going to die when they lay the foundation. And then when they hang the gates of the city, another son is going to die. And that is exactly what happens in 1 Kings chapter 16. In 1 Kings chapter 16, Ahab says, go ahead, let's build it. And so he was a Bethelite, and he lays the foundation. Evil is going on. This isn't the bad guys. This is like guys who have learned the same things that I have in life and turn their back on it. And even as they lay the foundation, boom, one of Heel's sons dies, just bang. Now, he may have been sacrificed. We're not told how he died. But in 1 Kings 16, 33 and 34, we're told the foundation is laid and one of his sons dies, bam. Now, you think that that would get your attention. But the arrogance of this guy says, no, doesn't matter. Let's keep building, boys. And they keep building Jericho, keep building it, keep building it. And finally it's done, and they're adding the gates of the city. We got the musicians all ready to play. We got the mayor of the city all ready to go. And all the everyone's going to celebrate. We got the smorgasbord all ready in the back. Let's hang the gates. And he hangs his gate, and his other son dies. Isn't that a wild? This is a low point on earth, but this is also a low point for this guy and his sons. Unreal when you mock God. The fear of God, the Word of God says, is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. I'm talking a reverential fear, right? Not, oh, like for me, yes, I would, if I drop into eternity today and I go and see my Savior, probably the first thing I would do, I'm not too sure how I would react. I won't have a guitar that's plugged in. So maybe I just drop to my knees and go, thank God. Thank God I made it. Maybe it's just pure reverence. I just think I might start to cry. I'm an artist. I like drawing cartoons. I like writing songs, right? But when you're faced with your Creator and He sent His Son to die on the cross for sin, I'm going to bow. Two sons that died. Jesus is going through this same place. What's going to happen? Is he going to hold up the curse? He goes, you're from Jericho. Forget you. No. He is coming there literally to give his life. He's passing through on his way to Jerusalem. And think of all the pomp and circumstance, which is 14 miles to the south of him, where he's coming through. He's coming through, and here's a guy, is all-time low, and he can't see. And it came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. 38. And he cried and saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Two sons that died. Now here is a son. What did I say? This is a son that gave life. He links this blind man. Actually, it's Mark that gives us his name. If we were to read the same account, it says that the horde, it's not just a horde passing through on their way to the Passover. No, they're actually following Jesus, this massive horde. And then if you read Matthew, we read of that there's actually two blind guys. And the name there in Mark gives the name. He goes, the guy's name is Bartimaeus. He's blind. And he calls out the same thing. He goes, son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd said, would you be quiet? We got things to do. Jesus is busy. He's going through. Now, what's Jesus going to do? Is he going to hold up the curse at this low, low point on planet Earth? The lowest point on planet Earth? What's he going to do? And they, which went before, rebuked him and said, hold your peace, man. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, he says again, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou, this is unbelievable, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now let's read Mark here for a second as well. Let's go to Mark chapter 10, same thing. And verse 50, it says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He goes, because back to Luke, he says, I want to receive my sight. And what does Jesus say? Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight. Mark says he threw off his garment, the same thing that he had lied on the night before, the same thing that kept him warm last night. He just tosses it aside. Isn't that awesome? Some things in life are like that. You come up against it. You don't need anything else. First time I saw my wife, we were singing at a wedding in Kamloops, right? She was just a little girl. I was 12. She was 10. And we were singing the Three Million Boys at a wedding. And first time I saw her, boom, my whole world flipped. My tongue didn't work. When she said hi to me, I said nothing. It came out. Even years later, when she worked at our record company on the phones, she goes, hi, how you doing? Catherine, oh man, I didn't know you worked here. Did anything cool come out of my mouth? No, you know what I did? I sat there and went like this. Just total jargon. And she goes, have a nice day. I don't know what she thought. There are tipping points in your life. This is one of the tipping points in his life. And what does he say? Thou son of David. He links him to King David. Links him through the lineage of Matthew all the way to Christ. And something else is going to happen. Because this is the chapter before Zacchaeus. Watch what happens here. Back to Luke. And it says that, so the blind man is healed. Bartimaeus is healed. And we read in the other Gospels, it says, he followed him. A tipping point. You know, there's some people I meet in my life and I'm like, oh, wow, this is great. Can we play together? Like say he plays bass and I play guitar. It's just better. It's like Ashley's son, Austin. Whenever we're on stage, when we do like a corporate gig or say we're playing at that, you know, it's just better with Austin because he's a savant on the keyboards. Just change key, whatever, talking to his wife, blah, 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 writing a song, blah, blah, blah. He's just, I don't know what's going on in his head, but it's just better. And sometimes we're on stage, I'm like, okay, that sounds a little bit more jazzy. And sometimes that sounds a little bit more blah, blah. Tipping points. Here is a tip. Thou son of David, watch what happens in this is a very famous one, Luke 19. Jesus entered. So now he's in, passing through Jericho, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. And we know this guy. We've heard him all our lives, right? And we know about the desire to see him as he climbs that tree. We know about, it says he ran. When was the last time you ran? See the tipping points? When Jesus enters a situation, guys, there are tipping points in life, all right? There are tipping points. Now, can we just stop there for just 1 second? As we deal with our twos, we'll get to the ones and the threes in a second. I just want to say this. The condition of our faith is a reflection of how we view God. The condition of your faith, okay, is a reflection of your view of God. I prayed for my Uncle Arnett for years, every day. We used to sing a song because we were the Milne Boys. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Amen. And God, please save Uncle Arnett. That's how we would, that was like at least twice a day. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for the birds that sing. Thank you for the everything. Amen. Pray for Uncle Arnett's salvation. And then one day he gets saved, like literally decades later. We actually continue to pray. And we were so, the habit of praying for our Uncle Arnett was so, but guess what he became? I didn't even believe he would. When was the last time you ran? Like ran. You know what? I used to be a great runner. I used to race guys that are way, but you know what? It was just sheer determination. And then K-Jax hooked up and I ran around that Minoru track so many times. And I've told you before, when I spat, it would foam down. Have you ever been that nervous? You know, I'm looking at these runners, and they send me down to Eugene, Oregon. I got to race against these guys. These guys look like horses. And I'm skinny little white guy. I'm supposed to, and I was used to coming in first, so it feels horrible to come in seventh. These guys were made to run. They look like runners. Did you know these runners run, and they run, and their legs jiggle, just jiggle? I'm just like, I got to race that thing. When was the last time you ran? Here's a grown man, tax collector, running. And not only that, he climbs a tree. And he wants to see, and we all know it. We all have studied this. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide in the house. I love this. Zacchaeus becomes a guest in his own house. And other people have a problem with it. So, and what does Jesus Christ say at the end of it? We'll just fast forward to verse 10. It says, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the son of man. There it is. Son of David, son of man. Here is the one who gives life. Here are two sons that give life. The son of David, and now the son of man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why the son of man? I think one of the reasons was it just avoided like political misunderstanding, right? Because people were expecting this great ruler to come down. All right, the Messiah, where's your spear? Where's your horse? Where's your army? And Jesus says, no, I'm going to suffer and then I'm going to reign. I am the son of man. Woo! Two sons that died. Two sons that give life. And they happen to be the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Unbelievable. And so I just want to pause there. What about you? Has there been a tipping point in your life? Has there been a tipping point in your life? Let's go quickly to Genesis for a second. Let's go to Genesis 40. Because for those of you who aren't Christians in the audience, I do want to say this, that you too have a chance. Because I got some more twos for you. Because here today we have Two dreamers and two destinies. Stick with our twos. And in Genesis 40, it says, and it came to pass after these things that the butler, the king of Egypt, and the baker had offended their lord, the king. Just before we get started, I want you to, I love this one. I want to recircle back to it because I want you to choose right away your, I want you to choose a bow tie. You're like, ladies, you're out there going, I don't wear bow ties. Okay, fine. An apron. You're a servant, all right? I want you to choose that outfit, or I want you to choose like a big, tall baker hat for the day, all right? Once again, Alistair, what? I want you to choose one of these outfits, a servant or the baker. A servant or the baker? The bow tie for the guys, apron for the ladies, or on the other side, the baker's hat. Because it says both of them have offended the king. So two offenders. There's our twos again. We got two offenders here. Both were condemned in verse 3. Both are concerned. Look at it in verse 3. It says, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, a place where Joseph was bound. Remember Joseph? He's in the prison. Remember? The wife wanted to sleep with him, right? Somebody else's wife. He's like, hey, how you doing? And Joseph's like, I gotta go. And she's going, you ain't going anywhere, sweetheart. Give me a big kiss. And Joseph's like, it doesn't actually, I'm paraphrasing. But Joseph says, hey, I'm out of here. And she grabs his coat. Now, in the previous one, notice, there are going to be times in this life where you are going to have tipping points. Notice how the beggar just left his coat and moves on to something better. Here's a place, again, where he has to leave his coat because he doesn't want to sleep with this woman. It is someone else's wife. And let me tell you, this ain't no ugly duckling. Some of us in this room would give that girl a third look. Like, what is that? You just don't become a king and have a wife that looks, I don't know, average. He has had choice of the best, and she comes at him. What does Joseph do? He runs for his life, and she grabs the coat. And then, well, as we all know, he ends up in prison. And here's the butler and the baker. Let me tell you, he offended the king. He goes, you try to sleep with my wife? Of course he didn't, but he was. But you too, guys, me too, we are all, we have offended the king as well. And unfortunately, it's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why Jesus came. We've offended. God had to give his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we could live. Two offenders. Two offenders. We too have offended. Sin has made man a transgressor, Romans 5. He's made Satan a tyrant. Sin has made God a worker, Isaiah 65. It's made Christ a sufferer. Because we sin, Christ has to suffer. That's what it says in 1 Peter 3 and 18, right? Because we sin, it makes hell a reality. Really, Alistair? Luke 16, 23. Yeah, it's real. So two offenders, and then both of them have dreams. Both of them have dreams. And I want you to hear this first one. The first one, he has a dream. And verse 9, and the chief butler and he said his dream to Joseph. And he said to them, in my dream, there was a vine before me. Verse 10, and the vine was there and the branches, and it was through a budded. And the blossoms forth, and the clusters therefore had brought forth ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave it to the cup to the Pharaoh in hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. Three branches are 3 days. In other words, Joseph interprets the dream. He goes, hey, don't worry, butler. You're going to get your job back in 3 days. He goes, really? He goes, yeah. Now notice what's happened. There's three vines. He just simply takes the vine and squeeze it. It says the cup's already in his hand. And he just squeezes it into the cup and he presents it to the king. Now, for those of you who have not trusted Christ in the audience, that is all you have to do. And this is going to be hard for some of you, but Jesus Christ is the only, he's the way, the truth, and the life. What I'm saying is you just need to offer back to God what he's given you. The Lord Jesus Christ, and offer it back. When I end up in heaven someday and I arrive, go, Alistair, how'd you get here? Because of him, because of Christ. He paid my, I believed that. I tried to follow it on planet Earth, but he dealt with salvation on the cross. He rose from there. I'm giving the king what I didn't work for that. Notice the baker. The baker also has a dream. He's feeling good. And the baker says, hey, Joseph, I had a dream too. And what does the baker dream? He has three baskets, also representing 3 days. He goes, hey, man, three baskets and all, oh, it's filled with donuts and bread and, well, all these baked meats, it says. And all these birds came and they took everything. And I presented it to the king and there was nothing to give to the king. Wow, guys, this is a salvation illustration. This is a salvation parallel of life. I got friends that are technically 20 times smarter than me at work. They don't get what I'm talking about. Because they still think by doing good works, and I've done this, and I've given this money, millions, to a charity, that God is somehow going to go, oh, well, you get in. It's like a baker saying, look what I did, God. And God still says, no, I just want you to give me back my son. Now that is worth writing down in our heads, and hopefully it falls into our hearts intentionally. Alistair, what are you saying? I'm saying you can't get to heaven by being a good person. You can't get to heaven, but you know that. The Bible teaches that. But it's weird out there, guys. It's weird. Oh, yeah. All roads lead to Rome. No, they don't lead to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible says. And what does he just squeezes the butler into the cup and presents it to the cup. And that's exactly what happens. In 3 days, guess what? Joseph says, your head's going to be removed. Baker's like, what? And that's exactly what happens. Two offenders, just as we have offended the king. Two dreamers, both have a dream. Two offerings, notice how both of them offered something to the king. And now, two destinies. Two destinies. Two. A lot of twos. We may not get to the one and the threes today, right? But isn't this like a smorgasbord? Isn't that, like if you just walked away with that as a little tool for your friends at work, not that you got to preach the living daylights out of them. No, because if we're not living the life, forget it. They want someone with integrity. They want someone who adds joy to an office. They want someone who actually pays for the donuts once in a while without going, I got it last time. What? No. Christ changes this, guys. As we walk in the light, as he that is in the light, the Bible says we have fellowship with him. Jesus ain't going to say, oh, I got the donuts last time. That's not going to be his style. It's amazing, guys. It's amazing how we can be so blind sometimes. Talking to myself. So there it is. Okay, let's be real. We've had enough of the twos, right? I want to give you one, three, okay? Because we got to move quick. Zacchaeus, back to Luke 19. Zacchaeus is there. Wow. I just want to say this. If Jesus is the man on the tree, Zacchaeus is the one up a tree. Right? And remember Adam? In chapter 3, we're not talking chapter 50. In other words, the world has just started. There's Adam and Eve in the garden. It takes a few verses and we've sinned. Why? Because Eve says, oh, hey, Adam, have this fruit. Adam's like, man, you look good today, Eve. Wow. Okay. What did Adam do? He said, I want to be with you rather than God. It was worth it to him. That's risk management, we call that in my world. I'm going to be with you. Can you imagine the woman that God made for Adam because he thought Adam would be lonely? Just makes it right there. I go, hey, I ate from the tree. Yeah, you weren't supposed to do that, Eve. What are we doing? And what does it say? He stood right by her, right? But what does it say? They hid themselves from God. So Zacchaeus is up a tree because he just wants to get more of it. Jesus gives his life because he wants you back. Adam is just like you and I. We screwed up. I wanted to be with you. Let's just hide. Now we're talking someone behind a tree. So now we're just not going to deal with it. And there may be some things in your life that you have to deal with. Because now God's like, hey, it says he comes to him in the cool of the day. Adam, where are you? And Adam has to step out of the tree. And it says he's made himself something out of fig or out of branches or whatever. And he goes, hey, I'm right here. And I screwed up. And God's like, ah. And it's this is why Christ has to come, guys, to get you back. So I just want to leave those. So we had enough of the twos. Just one three. Just remember those three trees. Christ on a tree. Zacchaeus wants him so much, he's just got to climb a tree. What grown man does that? I can't remember the last time I climbed a tree. Pretty important person walking by. 5-star tip. Don't hide. Now, I just took a course there called Freedom Session. I've been taking this course since September. And it deals with Alistair and all the junk in his life. And for that's a long time to take a course. Probably one of the best self-development courses based on the Word of God that I've taken in the last 10 years. But you know what chapter 2 was on? Denial. Denial. Like, I do something. Like, you don't have to live with me. My wife does. and there's stuff I do that I'm just like, oh, God, at least I'm not an axe murderer. Like, that's denial. That still has to be dealt with. There are 8 forms of denial. One of them is bullying. Another one, hey, be quiet. None of your business. Right? I don't pull that card a lot, even though I'm Irish. I don't pull that card a lot. But there is denial. And when we deal with that, hey, babe, you know, I owe you an apology. And keep those short accounts, right? So, a little personal thing there. We got no time. Man, we got 2 minutes. So I just want to say this. Alistair, are we going to get to what? What number are we missing? 1. There's so many ones, guys. There's 7 ones. So we don't have time to get to them. So I'm gonna save that one for another time. I just want to maybe leave you with one phrase that Jesus says a few times, but he changes a word. He says, come unto me. He says, follow me. It's to the Christians here. And guess what else he says? He says, abide in me. Whew. Alistair, are you abiding in Christ? You are as close to God as you want to be. The condition of your faith is a direct reflection of our view of God. Perhaps one of the reasons why some of us have a lukewarm Christian life is because we actually don't believe things. Like, things happen in Matthew there. Matthew 14, 17, and 21. And what happens is, okay, watch this. Just follow me for a second. Because I really believe this. Watch this. In 14, it's the what? It's the two fishes and the loaves. And it seems so insufficient. And what does Jesus say? Bring it to me. There's 2 loaves. There's 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Oh, well, we got 5,000 people here. And Jesus says, bring it to me. Maybe he didn't do it like that. He's just like, just bring it to me. And the kid brings it. We all know the story. And he feeds everyone. So it just seems so... And then a few chapters later, in chapter 17, watch what happens. It says that there's a man, and he has a son, and he's rolling into fire. He's a lunatic, the Bible says. And he brings it to the disciples. The disciples can't do anything with him. So the situation, I'm going to say, seems impossible. And what does Jesus say? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. This is the faith we need, guys. You got problems? Bring it to God. Right? So, because that lunatic comes, you know what I mean? Not only is he healed, he ends up following God. He ends up following the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of David. And there's a third one in chapter 21. Remember, just before he goes in and to the cross, he says to his disciples, hey, it seems so insignificant now. There's another one. It seems so insignificant. He goes, hey, I want a donkey. He doesn't even tell him what it's for. He goes, go to this place, tell him the Savior needs it. The Lord needs it. They're like, okay. And they go. And they get it and they bring it. Hey, Alistair, why do you bring up that third one? Because there's things in your life, guys, that you think are insignificant. And God's using you. You gotta go with it. You gotta go with it. Because perhaps with you, it's just joy. You just bring joy to this place. Perhaps you're organized. You're like, oh, well, everyone's kind of organized. No, they're not. No, they're not. People are not organized. There's a few of us that are. Or maybe you just love studying the Word of God. Maybe you have a servant heart and you're actually picking up kids, or maybe that grandma that can't make it to church. We are one body, guys. So instead of thinking of it, oh yeah, my relationship with God, yes, that's important, but what about you? What about us? What about me helping you and you helping? It seems so insignificant. I picked you up. Oh yeah, that's what I do. Alistair's a nice guy. No. That's what God wants to use. And suddenly God can use you now. Some of the rowdy, you know who looks at, you know who's one of the pastors at our church in Surrey? I was running camera early this morning. He was selling drugs at one point. And they had our services on repeat on channel 62 in the prison. You know what he did? He became a Christian. Isn't that wild? And now he's one of the pastors at our church. That's wild. What if you go, oh, that guy's messed up. Oh, that guy, he's just a druggie. He's just a, no, we're talking an organized business. He wasn't just selling a little bit of drugs. He had trucks of drugs. Millions of dollars. And at some point, you got to, don't be in denial. Like, oh, this is a good life, baby. Hey, it's a good life, baby. And then eventually, you got to go, I got to confess this. I need Christ. He's literally in prison going, okay, well, I know how to make money fast. And I have those connections still. He had to drop it all. Why? Like that coat, he drops it to see Christ. Like Zacchaeus, he climbs it just to see it. That's desire, guys. So there's going to be something that's going to happen this week in your life. And you say, ah, it's just small. No, it's not. Perhaps you're good at baking. You don't want me baking for you. That's bad. But you do it awesome. You do that. You see, it's insignificant. People don't even say thank you. Do it. Sometimes when I get really depressed like that, I'm going, oh, wait, I'm doing this for God. Oh, I'm good. It just sort of sets me real quick, because people don't say thank you a lot. You know, and it's just like, hey, you know, even in my own family, oh, you're welcome, you know. I remember we were sitting just 3 weeks ago, and I should be careful. All these messages are recorded. But hey, I'm an open book, as you guys know. And my wife starts to cry. You know why she started to cry? Because somebody didn't say thank you. Aren't we all like that sometimes? Just like, I made this, and it took me an hour. It took me, I couldn't even say, I said, hey, I didn't even want to say anything because I thought a grenade's going to go off. That's how she was shaking. I said, babe, wow, it was just so good. It was so good, babe. She goes, thank you. She goes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said, no, that's completely natural. I agree with you. They could say thank you. Okay, we recorded it. Delete it. No, just kidding. But it's one of those things. We got no time, guys. I gave you some twos, right? Two that died. Two that gave life. Two dreamers. Two destinies. I gave you the tree. There's three, right? Hiding behind, the one is up, and the one who gave his life for you. We'll get to the ones on another time, because actually a lot of time should be spent on there. As I said, that was my smorgasbord today. You took what you want, take what you want, and just remember those numbers, and hopefully just a little two-minute thing that you caught today helps you this week, because we are all one body. It ain't me. Oh, God's using Alistair with the music, and God's using it. No, he wants to use you because you're good at something that I stink at. I'm not even supposed to be in the, you know what? When I'm in my house, I'm not even allowed in the kitchen because apparently I don't clean the glasses even good enough. We clean our glasses, then we put them in the dishwasher. I still don't get that, but they go in the dishwasher clean. I don't understand, but that's the way my wife likes it. You today, you're as close to God as you want to be. All I'm asking you to do is just look at your own condition of your faith, because it is a reflection of how you view God, and just turn that up. And I'll leave you with a quote my mom used to say to us. You know what she used to say? She used to hear a good song. Could be any song. Sometimes it's just a song that's on the radio. Sometimes it's a praise and worship song. Sometimes it was something, you know, something from Europe, something. And she would call me. She goes, Alistair, listen to this. Blah, blah, blah. Or I'd be at home. She goes, turn it up. How many times in my life The music was just, it's just a language to her. She goes, Alistair! I'd be playing something. Turn it up! I said, okay, Ma. Turn it up! I'm like, my dad didn't talk like that, but my mom did. Amplify Christ. Amplify Christ. Not you. Amplify him. And what happens is you and your partner maybe even become more attractive to each other and to God. Why? Those two roads are going right to God. I got marriage problems. We all do. Guess what? Get closer to God. Things like forgiveness happen much easier. No time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this time. We think of these numbers that we dealt with, Father. We didn't get to the one thing that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, or to gaze on the beauty of him. Father, we didn't even get to it. But here, as we look at the twos and the threes, Father, we see these big contrasts. Even in Jericho, God did not just walk by. That was the last miracle before he goes to the cross to give his life for. He's there because he wants us back. So, Father, we ask boldly for you to work in our lives this week. May we be sharp, Father. Give us courage when we're scared to talk to our work friends and perhaps some relatives that sometimes even mock us, Father. Give us a strength not to mock back, but to take on you, to put on you and to take off, just as the blind beggar did. Didn't need it anymore. Doesn't need the old self, because something new is more attractive. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless this place. Amen.